Okay, welcome back to the second session. Okay, in the second session, we are going to talk about the product market fit. Okay, so product market fit is very important because this product market fit is highly intertwined with the value proposition that we discussed before. And surprisingly, not too many people understand the real meaning of the product market fit. Although we talk this concept, frequently. For example, in the startup scene, everybody talk about, how to achieve the product market fit. Or did you achieve the product market fit? Or venture capitalists argue that, you'd better achieve the product market fit as soon as possible. Other than that, we cannot invest our money. Something like that. So my question is, what is the product market fit? Again, this concept is not academic concept. This concept, came from the field, the practical field. Okay, so the venture capitalists talk about product market fit and startup founders talk about product market fit. So in the university, not too many people explain it clearly. So don't worry about it. I am the person who can explain the concept very clearly to you. Okay, let's begin with the product market fit together. Before we go into the main topic, I wanna show you the pictures. Okay, look at this picture. The guy who wears the blue shirts is Mr. Lee, and it looks like Mr. Lee suggests some kind of idea to the kind of old guy, right? Well, actually, in 2005, Mr. Lee was working at the motel, which is the love hotel in Korea, as a janitor, right? He cleaning up the motel or hotel floor. At the same time, he was running a very popular internet community about, the love hotels. This internet community was called Motel Tour. Okay, so again, he was a running manager of the internet community called Motel Tour, and at the same time, he was a janitor, okay, in 2005. So the internet community Motel Tour covered many information about the love hotels in Korea, right? And of course, he knew many the owners of love hotel or motels, and this old man in the picture is one of the motel owner, right? And then now, they met together and they discuss about current revenue of the old man's, love hotel. And old man's really worry about current, revenue that was not going up. So the Mr. Lee suggests to him, what about putting advertisement? What about putting advertisement of your love hotel to my internet community motel tour? Then probably we expect to have increased the sales for sure. Okay. This is another option. If you decided to advertising your love hotel on my internet community, then if the revenue was not increasing, then I will fully refund the money. Okay. The advertisement cost $1,000. Okay, will you do it or not? Something like that. So from the love hotel owner's point of view, so why not? Just $1,000, okay? So he can invest $1,000 just 1 month. And then he can expect to have increased sales. If it is not working, then, his money fully refunded. Why not? So he said that, let's go together. So he decided to advertise his love hotel onto the internet community, which is Motel Tour. Mr. Lee accepted this advertisement. This is kind of first advertisement, in this internet community. And then he wanna make the revenue of this love hotels increase for sure. So that's why he gave room service, kind of a free room service to the consumer who saw the advertisement from the internet community. So that the motels and love hotels sales would go up. Okay. No matter what. You know what I mean? So He said that, yes, you know, I keep my promise. Okay, finally sales went up. Then the, you know, Love Hotel's owners were very happy. Okay, this is the moment. Then what happened later? This rumor spread very quickly. And then the Love Hotel owners' friends found out these rumors, found out this story. And they are all motel owners. They are all Love Hotel owners. So they you know, let him introduce, you know, Mr. Lee to his friend, okay? So all of a sudden, you know, Mr. Lee was introduced to 50 Love Hotel owners and attract 50 advertisements. Okay. So, you know, let's focus on this moment. That moment when the consumer come to visit us on their own, even though we didn't spend much money on our promotion or our marketing. Okay. So, we describe these types of moment. It's the moment when the product market fit finally achieved. So now you understand what is the true meaning of the product market fit, right? So anyway, this is a kind of humble starting story of Yanolja. Have you heard about the Yanolja? Yanolja is one of the unicorn company. You know, once Yanolja, you know, became the Decacorn once. Decacorn means some startup company valued more than $10 billion, not million, billion. Okay. So this $10 billion valued company started from just internet-based, you know, communities, motel tour, right? Isn't it interesting? So currently the Yanolja revenue almost $1 billion and Yanolja achieved around kind of $45 million as a profit. Okay, think about it. His profit is $45 million and the revenue almost $1 billion. And, you know, the CEO, Mr. Lee, founder Mr. Lee, and his name is Yi Su-jin, became the unicorn company founders. Right now, it's a unicorn company. And then we expect Yanolja to go IPO maybe this year. I don't know, maybe, you know. So we expect that. Okay. As I already mentioned that the concept of product market fit came from, you know, the practical field, right? So originally this concept came from a famous investor, okay, who wrote a blog in 2007. Of course, the industry has been using it a lot for a long time, okay? His name was, this expert name was, is Mark Andreessen. He's a very famous man in the field of entrepreneurship because he developed it. You know, the Netscape? You know, have you heard about the Netscape? Netscape is a early version of internet search engines. Of course, everybody used the Netscape before the Microsoft Explorer. So the Netscape was sold to the AOL, you know, with $4.2 billion. Think about $4.2 billion. So the founder of Netscape, who is Mark, became the billionaire overnight. So with that money, you know, he started a venture capital company. And right now he became the very famous venture capitalist in the world. Okay, his name was Mark, and he's investors at one of the very famous venture capital company. And he said that product market fit means being in a good market with a product that can satisfy the market. Okay. So again, the product market fit can be defined as a moment. It's a moment when the startup builds a product or service that satisfies strong market demand. Of course, product is well aligned with the market needs. That growth can happen naturally, without any too much effort to promote your service and product. You achieve the growth, and your company's growth, you know, can happen naturally. So the real users are willing to use it, pay for it, and recommend it, okay, without any marketing, right? So this is a kind of a moment of the product market fit. Okay, there are three signs, the three signals of the product market fit. Okay, first signal is, if you notice that your product and services suddenly pulled from the market, then you feel that you achieved the product market fit, like these companies. Okay? And second signal was that if you experience gradual increase but compounding pull from market, then you feel that, you know, you achieved the product market fit, because it is one of the signal of the product market fit. Okay? For example, Instacart. Instacart increased gradually, but the, you know, they experience compounding pull from the market. And third one, you know, if the services and product, you know, hit the milestone that prove it is working, then it is one of the signals for the product market fit. Okay? So for example, Airbnb, right? Airbnb. You know, when founders of the Airbnb started this company, then, you know, many years later, they found that the business is perfectly working right now. So it is kind of one of the signals of the product market fit. Okay? And there are different time frame, okay, to the product market fit. Some company achieve the product market fit relatively fast. Other company achieve the product market fit relatively slow. Okay, for example, Caviar. Okay, do you remember the business model of Caviar? You know, Caviar founded by the college student from university, UC Berkeley, right? UC Berkeley. And they, you know, they created some kind of mobile application and target to the high-end restaurant and provide some, you know, the individual contract delivery service with the high-end restaurant and the consumers. So anyway, 3 months later after inception, the Caviar, you know, achieved the product market fit. And there's a quote. The CEO of Caviar said that, you know, we saw the same group of super users order over and over again. And retention, think about retention. Retention stays strong despite not having an iOS app. We don't have iOS app, but the retention stays strong. What is retention? Okay, we are going to talk about retention later. Retention means the, you know, how many people, how many users keep using your services. Okay, this is kind of retention. What about DoorDash? DoorDash achieved the product market fit after around 12 months. So 1 year after its founding, you know, DoorDash achieved the product market fit. They said that, you know, we felt we had the product market fit close to 12 months in after. We were able to replicate the same or better success in the city 2 versus city 1, something like that. And Uber achieved the 1 year. Udemy achieved the 2 years, you know, product market fit. It takes 2 years for them to achieve the product market fit. Have you heard about Thumbtack? Okay, Thumbtack, you know, valued these days, valued $3 billion, which is a big company. But it took 5 years for them to achieve the product market fit. Okay, the CEO and founder of the Thumbtack said that at year five, we had the supply, demand, the revenue all come together and growth took off. So again, you know, different company have a different time, you know, different time to achieve the product market fit. Okay. If you achieve product market fit very fast, you are lucky. But, you know, don't be panic. You know, if you achieve the product market fit late, don't worry about it, you know. It is natural. So how to know if you achieve the product market fit or not? There are several metrics to check out whether you achieve a product market fit. The first metric is kind of word of mouth. Okay, you can check it out, word of mouth. Second metric is simple survey questions. Third metric would be user engagement. And next metric is paying ICP consumers. I will explain more detail. And another metric would be the retention curve. Another one is a bond multiple. And the last one, CLV divided by CAC. Okay, ratio. Okay, let's look at the word of mouth. Word of mouth. Okay, so you need to check out your word of mouth. Okay, about your brand name, about your product, about your services. The first one, you can track your brand mentions, especially in the social media. So you visit many social media, such as Facebook and Instagram, and you can check and you can monitor how many people, how many times they mentioned your service or product. If they mentioned your service, your product too much, then you feel that, wow, you know, there is a word of mouth spread out, right? Second, you can search for your brand, okay? Through what about the Google Trend? You can use the Google Trend and you can check out about your trend of your brand name, right? Third one, you can check out how many people visit your homepage, okay? So it is organic traffic to the homepage. Let's move to the survey question. Survey. Well, there is a very famous survey question, okay? It's a CNLS test. CNLS test is kind of one simple question. How would you feel if you cannot use this service or product no longer, okay, anymore? How would you feel if you could no longer use this product? And you can provide three options. Yeah, they're very disappointed, okay? Second, somewhat disappointed. The last one, you know, I don't care, not disappointed. So, you know, there's a rule of thumbs. If we ask these types of questions to your consumers, 4 out of 10 consumers should say it could be very disappointed. Not using your service? Okay, you close down your service. Oh my God, I'm really satisfied. You know, I'm really disappointed. The fact that I cannot use your service right now. Okay? 4 out of 10 consumers should say very disappointed. This is a 40% rule. 40% answering very disappointed. It's a strong signal of product market fit. Other than that, you know, you cannot say you achieve the product market fit, okay? Let's move on to another metric, which is user engagement. User engagement means there are several, you know, several indications of the user engagement. The first one is how actively and meaningfully users are involved with your services or product. And we can measure this engagement throughout kind of active user, daily active users or monthly active users. Okay, you can identify how many users are daily active users or how many users are monthly active users. Okay, secondly, you can check out the average time your users spend on your website or on your service. So how long users stay per visit. Okay, so you can check out the length of time. For example, Facebook, okay? So users of the Facebook stay long time, you know, when they use the Facebook. So that's why Facebook charges premium prices on the advertisement option for the advertisers, okay? Because Facebook already achieved the product market fit in terms of the session length. Another one is that, you know, you can check out the user engagement throughout the click-through rate, okay? So engagement with the contents or buttons, okay? You can count the click numbers, okay? Click-through rate. So anyway, based on those metrics, you can make a graph. So for example, if your product or service achieved the product market fit, then we can find out these types of graph, okay? So your user engagement will be increased as time goes. Then probably your the companies will be increased, okay? Your company will grow. If you do not achieve the product market fit, then of course your user engagement is decreased or same low, okay? Then your company didn't grow, okay, do not grow. So this is a kind of user engagement, right? Okay, let's move on. It's a paying ICP consumers. What is ICP consumers? ICP consumers refers to ideal consumer profile. Ideal consumer profile is kind of your most valuable consumer segment. Okay. It is a little bit different from the consumer persona. Consumer persona is kind of individual users. But ICP is kind of a consumer, the segment. Okay, consumer segment. Well, think about it. User persona is kind of a description of the individual users. So for example, who is our user of this internet, you know, lecture provided by Hanyang University? Well, the users would be kind of a 20 to 25 years old university student, you know, who lives in kind of other Asian countries, you know, out of Korea, and also who are very interested in Korean culture, and also who are very interested in kind of the entrepreneurship or startup, something like that. And then they have some kind of motivation, you know, of taking the online course because they don't have time to visit Korea. And also they, you know, they should do part-time job while they taking class, something like that. And also they need some kind of credits. Okay, there are several motivations. And also, you know, we can figure out who are they, right? In terms of their life cycle, their family background, their education level, and their personality, something like that. And also, we can provide several different persona, okay, for this class. And this is a persona approach, but ICP is different. ICP is this class target to the foreign country that interested in Korea, okay, and foreign country that are ready to taking the English courses. Foreign country that are that have many the university students who are interested in Korea and who are interested in the entrepreneurship class, something like that. So the IPC is much bigger, and we target for the specific group of segment, specific consumer segment, and this segment is the most valuable, right? Anyway, think about if you have a service, if you have a product, and of course you have a lot of consumers. And some of the consumers don't pay anything, and other consumers pay the service. Okay, think about Spotify. And Spotify's valuable consumer segment would be the group of people who listen to kind of minor music. Okay, so that's why Spotify, you know, created some kind of the platform. Okay, because of the people target consumer who need some minor music. Okay, so anyway, there are a lot of consumers for the Spotify, and they figure out who would be our, you know, ideal consumer profile. Again, the consumer profile, ideal consumer profile for the Spotify would be group of consumer who seek for the minor music. So anyway, so Spotify go there and ask them whether they pay the service or not. So ideally, we should have a lot of ideal the consumer profile among your basic consumers. Then we say, yes, you are approaching, you know, product market fit. Okay, it's a little bit complicated, but it's a very important concept, right? Okay, and next one is a retention curve. What is the retention? You know, how many users continue to use a product over and over? Okay, so we can test the retention curve from, you know, the cohort test. Okay, so for example, today, how many people register for our services? How many people started subscription of our service? Yes, 100 of them. As time goes, you know, not all 100 of the consumers continue the services. Okay, some of them give up the service. Some of them just left the company, something like that. Some of them did not do not subscribe the service anymore. So anyway, so we expect the retention, you know, the half of them consumer, half of the consumers do not continue the service again and again. So our retention rate will be decreased at first. But if you achieve the product market fit, then this retention rate stays same. But if you do not achieve the product market fit, then retention rate continuously declines. Okay, continuously decreased. Sorry, continuously declined. Okay, so look at this picture. So from this graph, you can figure out, you can understand whether you achieved the product market fit or not. Next one. It's a calculation, a little bit complicated calculation, which is called burn multiple. Burn multiple. Burn multiple means how much you spend to grow the revenue. Okay, in order to generate new revenue, you should spend some of the money for promoting your service and product to the consumers. Okay, it is kind of marketing fee, marketing money, or kind of sales money, right? So the rule of thumb is the less you spend, the more efficient your growth. The less you spend is good for your, you know, product market fit. Okay, so in order to understand whether you achieve product market fit, we should calculate the burn multiple. You know, burn multiple can be calculated by your money for the marketing, net burn, we say net burn. You just spend the money, net burn, divided by what? Divided by net ARR. ARR refers to annual recurring revenue, kind of a recurring revenue, annual revenue, okay? New annual revenue, okay? So again, in order to generate the new revenue, you should pay, you should spend your money for the marketing. So net, you know, burn multiple mean, this is kind of a ratio between your spending money divided by your new revenue. Okay, new revenue. Ideally, you pay nothing for the marketing, you pay nothing for your promotion, but you have a lot of new revenues, then you achieve the product market fit for sure, right? Like a Mr. Lee case. Mr. Lee, right, in the, you know, at first, Mr. Lee didn't pay anything about the promotion, but he had 50 new contracts. Okay, his new contracts, each contract is 1,000. He earned 50,000, okay, one time, 50,000, right? So we can easily calculate it. He paid nothing divided by 50,000, and then we can calculate the score. That score should be really low. So in other words, you know, burn multiple should be low, right? Let's calculate burn multiple with a hypothetical situation. You know, there are 500 new consumers who pay $50 monthly, like ChatGPT. ChatGPT charged me $20 every month. So anyway, there are 5 new consumers who pay $20 monthly. Then, you know, we can calculate annual revenue, right? Annual revenue based on your new consumers. You know, they pay $20 every month, then multiply by 12 months, then multiply by how many consumers, new consumers? 500. So our new annual revenue would be, you know, $120,000. So you generate, you right now, you generate a new revenue, how much? $120,000, okay? Right now, let's say we spend $300,000 for the promotion fee to generate the new consumers. Okay, so you already spent $300,000, okay? Then we can calculate the ratio between, you know, how much you spend and how much you get as a new revenue, okay? Then let's calculate it. Then, you know, burn multiple is 2.5. $300,000 divided by 120,000. Okay, so we got 2.5. 2.5 means in order to generate $1, in order to generate one new dollar, you spend $2.5. What do you think? Is it efficient or not? It is not efficient, of course. It is not efficient. You pay too much, right? In order to generate just $1, you pay $2.5. It's not efficient. So this number should be low. So there is some kind of the rule of thumbs, some kind of rule of thumbs. The number Bohm multiple is less than 1, then you achieve the product market fit. And we got 2.5 is kind of bad signal. Okay. So now you understand what I mean by that. This is the concept of the Bohm multiple, you know, to understand whether you achieve the product market fit or not. So the last metric is CLV and CAC ratio. Okay. Have you heard about the term CLV, CAC? Don't worry about it, right? This ratio tells us, you know, how efficiently you are calling the consumers. The behind the philosophy is pretty much similar to the Bohm multiple. Okay. Again, this is a ratio by dividing by the CLV, dividing CLV by CAC. What is CLV? CLV is a consumer's lifetime value. CAC refers to consumer's acquisition cost. Okay. Let's look at the CLV first. How to calculate? CLV can be calculated by average order value multiplied by repeated sales, you know, multiplied by average retention time. Okay. I will show you an example. If you are an e-commerce company, then you can easily understand the average order values. Let's say it is $100. Okay. Average consumers pay $100 when they, you know, the purchase product from your website. And also, they use your website at least 4 times a year. Okay, so the repeated sale, 4. And what about average retention? Retention, you know, the average consumers continue your service at least 3 years. So the retention, 3 years. Repeat sale, 4 times a year. And average order value, $100. Then we can easily calculate it. Lifetime value of your consumers, which is $100 multiplied by 4 times multiplied by 3 years. So total $1,200 would be your the consumer's lifetime value. So they spend, basically they spend $1,200, you know, for their life. Okay, in terms of your service, $1,200. Okay. What about CAC? CAC is the total marketing money in order to get your new consumers. So you spend the money, how much? Okay, there is some money. Then you have new consumers. So we can get the ratio. Okay, so ratio. So the consumer acquisition cost. Then, you know, we can calculate this ratio. It's based on the total marketing fee divided by the number of consumers. Then we can get, you know, how much you spend to get one new consumers. Okay. So let's say you spend $50,000 as a marketing, then you got 100 new consumers. Then we can easily calculate the CAC. Your CAC is how much? $500. What do you mean by that? $500. Okay, so you spend $500 in order to get one new consumer. $500. And these new consumers spend how much? Average $1,200. You know, this is a lifetime value. Then, you know, we can easily calculate the CLV divided by CAC ratio, okay? And, you know, CLV, consumer's lifetime value is $1,200. And this number can be divided by CAC average cost, you know, for the new consumers, which is $500. So then we got 2.4 as a score, 2.4, okay? What do you mean by 2.4? It means you spend $1, okay, you spend $1 to get new consumers, $1, you spend $1. And these new consumers contribute to the company $2.4, okay? So you pay $1, but the consumers pay $2.4. Okay, I think it's good, right? But, you know, there's a rule of thumbs. This ratio, this number, should be exceed 3. Okay. So the at least three is ideal for the product market fit. Right. So you spend just $1, but your consumers pay $3, at least $3, okay? Then you can understand your approach to product market fit. So now you understand the clear meaning of the product market fit, and also signs of product market fit, and then different time of the product market fit, and how to understand if you achieve the product market fit or not. Okay, I provide several metrics. Okay, it will be very helpful in practically, right? Okay, thank you for the listening.